Welcome to the first installation of the Design Intent podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tony Lido, with Daniel Phipps and Aaron Hernandez. We are located in the Austin, Texas area, and we're going to be talking about design and design leadership and anything related to all the design disciplines. So I think today our conversation is going to be about the John Maeda talk that he gave at South by Southwest, where he talked about design not being that important. And I think it caused a bit of a stir with some of the design community in regards to how people felt. Maybe some people felt they were betrayed by John. I kind of got a lot of interesting things out of that about what he said. I think we should as we get going. So I think we come at it from multiple perspectives. So I'm Tony Lido. I'm lead industrial designer at Dell Technologies. I've been there for 12 years. I've been in the design profession for 22. Dan, do you want to talk a little bit about yourself?
Sure, just real quick. So again, Daniel Phipps, owners and started Axis Design about 15 years ago. And before that, spent 6 to 8 years or so bouncing around between various consultant and corporate employment. Have about the same amount of experience as you do, Tony.
And I am Aaron. I am the guy that really doesn't know much yet. I just graduated very recently. I have about 2 years experience here working with Daniel Phipps at Axis Design. So yeah, I'm going to have a little bit different perspective than they do.
We'll call it fresh.
Fresh perspective.
Not shriveled.
Exactly.
Great. Well, so let's get into it. Let's talk about what he was saying. And he of course most people know who John Maeda is. He's the head of inclusion computational design at the WordPress parent company. It's called Automattic. He thinks designers should be more like supporting actors versus leading characters at tech companies that developers and product managers work at. So let's talk about that. I think in some cases, I know from what I'm seeing working at Dell, it makes a lot of sense because we're not just creating art, for art's sake. We're creating products. We're trying to solve problems, and it takes many hands to make these
sure
these systems that we're making. I would imagine about 1,000 people probably touch any one product that I might design and have out in the market, and it's 1,000 people that have to work in synchrony to make these things.
Sure.
We can't just be the only voice kind of leading the charge. I think we have a large role in how the products are shaped and developed. And I think we have a very important job,
right.
But we're not technology specialists. That's what the other disciplines are for.
So, yeah. So I think in general, his message is correct. I think, he was trying to make a point and was kind of maybe being somewhat controversial, reactionary to make the point. But in general, what he's saying is, yep, design is important, but it's not the end all be all, really. It needs to be a product or a thing or whatever it is that solves this suits the need of this customer and what they want. And if some of it doesn't work, then it's not going to solve that problem.
Right.
So, yes, people want things that look good, that look beautiful, that are appealing. But if it doesn't, work properly, well, it's not a complete solution.
Right.
And so I think as a designer, we can contribute to that solution, but we're certainly not the end all be all. And as you say, it takes a team to do it.
Right. Yeah, it's really that whole experience. And I think that all those disciplines, as you learn to trust the people that you work with. And I think a lot of it comes down to trust and how the culture of the company is and the culture of that particular organization that you might be in. how people view each other and what their disciplines do, whether they see it as something silly or something that's very important. And I know in some of the groups I'm working in, you know, where everybody, you know, values each other greatly and with what they have to offer and how we put these products together. So typically the conversations are very productive. There's always going to be some conflict, but I think the conflict is very healthy in generally, if everyone is thinking about the customer, the end result, what that final experience is going to be, I think you know, you get a much better product.
Yeah, you'll get into a good place. You know, and some of the conflict arises around different priorities within different groups. So engineering may have a different priority than design, than marketing, and, right. and so forth. As long as they all in the end have the same goal of, you know, let's create the best product for this customer and what is the definition of best? If that's a shared goal, whether it be a cost point or whether it be a feature or performance thing, then I think everything else can be resolved. As long as everyone agrees that this is what our goal is, to be the best we can be for our customer.
Now, the only issue I did take with his point of view, or not his point of view, because I believe he is correct, you know, like you guys certainly agree with him, but that's if, let's say, someone that is not a designer listens to this, then that just further increases the misconception that design is just about beautiful things. So as designers, as professionals, you guys agree and you guys understand. However, other leaders or other company leaders that are maybe not designers, they're just going to continue with the misconception that design is just about making beautiful things. And that's kind of where I didn't agree with him, or the way he expressed about design.
Good point.
Which is, I mean,
I think those are certainly, so I've worked in those types of environments before, where design is just, you know, it's what you do at the end, and it's kind of putting lipstick on the pig. And there are individuals who believe that, and that's what they think, you know, we're there for, to be a very expensive extension to PowerPoint, is how I like to refer to it as. To me, it's a cultural thing, right? And within the company, and where I work at Dell Technologies, we have people who are you know, very smart. They're very good at what they do, and they have mutual respect. And I think as long as we respect each other, you can kind of get over some of those things. That's a hard one that can be a difficult step to overcome, especially if the culture of the company is such that they don't necessarily value design in a way that is inclusive versus just lipstick on the pig. I've worked with people that are like that, and it was a very, very hard job and very difficult thing to overcome.
Well, if I remember right, in the article, he's kind of maybe sort of describing in simplistic terms some past history of, you know, design used to be relegated to a fairly low level contribution. And then there was a reaction to that where, you know, design was sort of catapulted to the front of things and drove a lot, and perhaps at times to the detriment of what the end solution, you know, it was a beautiful thing, but maybe it didn't work quite right. And, you know, I think his point, and he is correct, is that, you know, again, one isn't necessarily better than the other. It all needs to work in conjunction. And that's probably where he's saying, where we need to be,
right?
And I think that's what you're describing as well.
Well, I think, you know, one of the things he mentioned, designers should focus on being good teammates rather than leaders. Worrying too much about whether design has enough influence over a product or a company distracts from the real vision, making great products that solves people's problems. I think that statement, it kind of contradicts itself, because yeah, we have to be good teammates, but I personally believe we have to be good leaders. We have to lead ourselves, and we have to lead the teams. And so sometimes, even when you have that good culture, you know, it's up to us to kind of help show what we think the solution can be, and really kind of help push, because not everyone is always going to be pushing the envelope. And when you have a team where everyone's really trying to push the limits, it's really good. And sometimes it's up to us as an organization to really push the limits and kind of push where we think it should go and it can go. So it's kind of both, right? We have to lead and be good leaders as well as being good teammates. And it's I think it comes down to respect for the other people and them having good respect for you so that they consider what you're trying to show. But a lot of times, you have to put out to maybe two solutions or multiple solutions, which is what we typically do. We don't always just design one thing and here it is. It's like, hey, here's three or four different options of what we think it could be from one extreme to the next. And so I think sometimes you always want to have something that's kind of pushing the envelope a little bit of what we've maybe where we think it should go. I think that's our role. That's what we have to do. I think we're obligated to do that.
Well, and to your point, you know, it's kind of like let's say a marriage, right? You got to play. Sometimes you lead and sometimes you're being led, and you basically lead when you're playing to your strengths, right? So one of the strengths of design is to be creative and visionary and sort of thinking forward. And you naturally can lead in those areas because that's one of the strengths of design. You know, when it comes to then, let's say, implementing that vision and creating the technology that supports it, well, you know, a designer is not necessarily going to be the best suited for that, where someone, you know, in software or engineering, you play to their strengths in that way. So
now he mentions that companies shifted into like a design basically a centered company. Now I think that can be good previously I thought that was a way to go for every company. You know, I thought that was the best way, but he did mention Jawbone, which I believe their products are beautifully designed, but whereas a company now it's kind of struggling. So he does make a really good point there that when companies spend too much time, or maybe in this case, too much money on design, then they really lack on the other parts.
I think they fail to deliver on the promise of how the product is going to act. And I think everyone, from the customer point of view, their expectations have been raised so high on how technology is supposed to behave. When you have a glitchy product, nobody's going to use it. You're going to put it away. I mean, think about all the technology that you've purchased over the last 2 or 3 years and what you continue to use and what you don't use based on how much of a pain in the ass it is to get it to work. And so I think that was the problem with those guys. Yeah, it looks great. But if you go to companies like, look at a company like Muji, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
Really beautiful stuff. It's not complicated. They're not complicated products. Right. They're not complicated systems. It's a beautiful brand with a beautiful store and a very engaging experience when you walk into such a store.
It always smells really good.
Yeah, smells really good. They've got sort of, you know, interesting music playing, and it's a fun place to go to and buy things. And it's, the products are very, very well designed. They're very nice, and you want them because they're beautiful. But they're not. It's not a complicated system like a piece of technology that's got to work with your computer and your phone and so on and so forth. So,
you know, it's interesting too, because a lot of company, you know, if you can look at the history of companies that have been around a while, and that you can sort of see some of these phases that they've gone through. So look at the poster child now of design, you know, Apple. Everyone touts them as, you know, this is the end all be all sort of thing. I remember back in the 90s, I'm going to date myself now a little bit. They came out with a product. I thought, oh, this is so cool. I'm going to get this thing. It was the Apple Newton. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Okay. I bought the thing. Was working actually at IBM at the time. it looked pretty cool. You know, it was this pen thing you could write on. It's supposed to recognize your handwriting. Horrible. The thing was horrible. Didn't work at all. Anyways, and that's they've always been fairly design-centric, and that's one where, you know, the technology, you know, it was just poorly executed.
Technology wasn't ready yet.
No, but, you know, again, you know, so companies, you can see how they grow, and obviously now, I think, you know, they've been able to to get to where they are, because obviously they're still fairly design focused, but I think for them, design is more than the aesthetics. Obviously that is important for them, but they typically, you know, their software is fairly well integrated. Yeah. Those sorts of things. But
yeah, I wonder if it's a different story now. I think instead of being design led, it's more of about the experience.
Well, that's what it is.
And they certainly do a great job with that. I think what I find very funny is if you look at their latest announcement with their tower, where they kind of flopped on their trash can tower.
Mm-hmm.
But now they have this new tower. Of course, I'm not certain on the functionality of it, but from an aesthetic point of view, it's kind of interesting, but it doesn't look as good as their other stuff. I think their older towers far better looking than this thing. It looks like a cheese grater. And then the extra $1,000 you have to pay for a stand for a very expensive monitor that you're already paying a buttload of money for. I understand the cost of the technology, but paying an extra $1,000 for a stand seems a little bit.
So would you say, in your opinion, would that be, I mean, obviously people have different opinions about the aesthetics of something, but would you say that would be an example of maybe, according to the article, the design was taken a too primary of a role?
I think so. I'm just imagining myself trying to justify that amount of money for a stand,
right,
for a very expensive piece of technology. I can understand why people would spend that kind of money on a display based on the types of users that they're going after, right? Those types of people in the photo world and the movie world, they need that level of precision for their work, because it's a tool. An extra $1,000 you're going to ask that person to go and spend on a stand, I don't understand why it wasn't included.
Right.
I mean, our very expensive monitors that we sell come with a stand.
Sure.
Of course, you can take that stand off and put it on some other kind of a stand, right, or a mount, right, a wall mount, or some kind of an arm if you choose. Maybe their customers prefer displays and they have different types of stands that they already own. I don't know. Maybe there's some insight that they have, but I don't get it.
See, and that's something that maybe John Maida might have overlooked. Well, or that he might have not mentioned in his speech, is that when companies really do focus on design first, is they can charge a premium, like Apple. So, for example, for the most part, people think that Apple products are beautiful, and that's why they get them. I think. It's like a fashion statement in a way. I guess a lot of it also has to do with marketing and all that money. But I think companies that have good design are also...
Well, historically, they've had, you know, if you look at their iOS and their operating system for their desktops and notebooks, it's fairly well integrated. So it's been more of a complete solution. I think what the Tony's talking about is, you know, specific to this display is a bit.
So if you spend $5,000 on a TV,
yeah,
you would expect that TV to come with something that would hold it up.
Most definitely. Yeah. Yes.
So that's my gripe.
The crux. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm not saying they're okay doing it, but. Since they are Apple and they've established themselves as, you know, like, we make the best products in our eyes, then people
maybe that's pay a bit it. It's a bit cocky not to sell a stand with your monitor.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little overzealous, perhaps. Their approach is very interesting, and it's something that can be admired, but I don't believe that it's the best.
Yeah.
I think that they certainly had a big influence on how other companies might behave with design, related to design, but I don't get the stand. I don't get that.
And that kind of,
I don't understand it.
Does affect like their product. Right now you were saying about the whole experience. I think to me that really affects the experience. Like, I just want to buy a monitor and be able to set it down. Like,
Yeah.
That totally really ruins the experience.
Yeah. Well, especially if you don't know that beforehand.
Yeah.
And you get it.
And especially if it's how much?
It's $1,000.
$1,000.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody in the announcement, it was, you know, the monitor was announced and people were all very sort of like happy and clapping and like, yeah, that's really cool. It's 5K display. And then he said, okay, here's the stand and it's going to be an extra $1,000. It's sort of everybody, even their biggest cheerleaders were like, oh,
wait a minute.
Okay. all right.
So it took them aback a little bit.
Took it back a little bit.
Well, you know, talking about them specifically again, you know, so they do some things well, but then again, they don't do some things well. So, you know, I used to be an iPhone user for, you know, generation probably 2, 3, 4, and 5, maybe even to 6, I think. I just got so, iTunes just got so big and bloated and clunky, I couldn't use it anymore. And it drove me crazy. And that's, you know, when I switched out of it, you know, over to Android.
How do you play your music now?
It streams.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
Spotify.
All that kind of stuff, yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah, I guess not every company's perfect.
No, I don't expect that.
Yeah, every company's going to have its foibles here and there.
What is that? Oh, yeah, that's it.
That's it?
Yeah, that's the picture of the thing. It's like a cheese grater.
It's like a cheese grater that they just went. Sorry about your phone there.
That's all right.
They took and stretched.
It's a good thing it landed on the carpet.
I know.
I have Daniel just dropped out. Aaron's very expensive iPhone.
iPhone XS
Max.
Max.
Yeah. For these kids, they gotta have the best. These young kids. You should put that in a case.
I did have a case, but I have a case for the first few months, and then I take out the case.
Aaron, this thing already has a cracked screen protector.
Yeah, I have a few extras, so I just haven't changed it.
Oh, this is hilarious. Somebody put this picture up here.
Yeah.
So you weren't the only one to say it looks like a cheese grater.
No, there's a bunch of memes online.
Pretty,
there.
Yeah. That's pretty mean.
Everyone is online is pretty outraged.
Are they?
Yeah.
Well, I understand the big holes because it's a
need some more
it's
air.
A hot machine.
Yeah.
Having designed workstations in the past and understanding the airflow, you've got to really get a lot of air in there. So it means a lot of open area.
Big holes are efficient, but how do they pass UL probe test with that? They must have something behind it.
It's got to be something.
Well, it's a big hole, and then
a small hole behind it.
It has like a thing going
like
behind
like
it.
Like a U-shaped sort of cup contour.
Yeah.
With small holes in the big hole.
Right.
I've certainly worked for companies in the past, personally, that, you know, were on that spectrum of let's sprinkle some design here at the end of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And others that were ahead of the curve with that.
Right.
From a consulting standpoint, it's kind of interesting because you can get involved with a number of different companies all at the same time.
Right.
Where they're sort of, where design is positioned differently in each of these companies.
Right.
And so you can see how, obviously the culture is and as that contrast to the other companies and how a design is used as a tool and how effective it is.
Right.
It's also interesting to hear from our customers within those companies, the designers per se, that hear their struggles about what they want to do and where they want to take it and what they're doing within the company to sort of progress it along.
Right.
So it's that I find actually is quite interesting.
Yeah, I bet as a consultant, you get pulled in at every level of the product development phase, depending on how they see the role of design to assist, right? Whether it's, hey, we've just done all the engineering work. Can you, put a face on it? Or we need you to work with the engineers. It's two different approaches.
And sometimes it's like, hey, we're starting this and our engineer is waiting for the designer to tell them what they're going to be designing.
Right. Right.
Which is always an interesting place to start as well.
Right.
So that's certainly one good thing about consulting is you get to see that wide variety.
Right. Aaron?
Yeah, so, well, right now, some of the projects we're working in is pretty interesting because it's a back and forth with the engineer. So I think that kind of like play is really cool, is like where the engineer really respects the designer and vice versa in most cases.
Yeah.
So I find that really, really cool, honestly, where the engineer moves and then we move and then the engineer moves. And it's pretty cool back and forth play because it's not just where everything's already set and then we just design around it or the other way around. It's like the product is moving along with both teams.
Hey, Aaron, so you're fresh out of school 2 years now, right?
Right.
And you were at University of Houston.
Yeah.
How did your faculty approach you guys in the design discipline, you know, as they're training you to be designers, professional designers? What were the things that they told you about or tried to teach you in regards to this is what's going to happen when you get out? You're going to start working with all these different types of disciplines. What was their approach? Like, what did you get? What were you learning?
So, I mean, and it starts changing, right? So in the beginning, it's really, there's nothing at all, you know, for the first 2 years, it's just you make this beautiful, design this, whatever. And then as you do start progressing along, they do start to throw in a little bit of interdisciplinary projects. For example, we had a project where we had to pair with Bauer University, the business school at the University of Houston. So what we did is we designed a product and they came up with a business plan.
Okay.
Now the only issue that I think came along.
Was the business plan before the product or afterwards?
No, the business plan was after the product. So basically we were an inventor.
Okay. So you guys were the inventors.
Yeah. So this is how I played along. Right. We had to come up with a product, whatever we thought was really cool. And then we went into a room full of all these Wolf of Wall Street guys sitting and looking at us, and we had to pitch our product. Now, based on that pitch, they would kind of bid on our design. So whoever, I don't know how they played along themselves, but whoever had the most bids would get the best team.
And the business students were the guys doing the bidding.
Yeah, business students were groups of probably like 10, and they would choose two products. And then based on that, they would come up with two business plans based on, let's say, me and another girl's project, and then they would choose one at the end, and we had to go and pitch it to Kroger. Now, Kroger the grocery store.
Okay.
Now the thing is that a lot of these people just see design as just, you know, like making something pretty.
Yeah.
That a lot of these people didn't understand the solutions that we were trying to pitch. So they were mostly pitching the design, whereas I think they should have been pitching the solution,
right,
or the problem,
right,
or how this product is solving the problem.
Yeah.
So for the most part in school, that was it. That's all we got. I think that it did lack a lot of, you know, like maybe we could work with the engineering school, having those type of interdisciplinary projects. Maybe with other people in marketing, or bring a bunch of different programs, engineering, business, and just put us all together somehow.
Yeah, not to, you know, knock the university system, but it would be an interesting way to teach the students is putting those schools, those colleges together in some kind of a final studio, final year, where they're all kind of like effectively having to cooperate with each other.
Right.
And You know, there's a business student working on the business plan. You know, the engineer is working with the designer, and you all are like working together on some final product that should be a solution for somebody or something or a service.
Right.
I think that would be very helpful so that you have a good idea of because as you know, you're going to run into roadblocks with different types of personalities. You're going to have some people who are fully into it, and you know they buy design and they love it, and others who are kind of, to your point, is they just think you're there to kind of make it look pretty at the very end. So those are all challenges, and I don't know where you go where you don't find those challenges. Right. I think 90% of the places you're going to go to, there's going to be those challenges.
And they could have made it, I mean, it doesn't even have to be that hard, because they could have made it to where we have more group projects. Even earlier in the year, we did have a few group projects, but even working with other designers can be kind of tough, because you're 2 years or 3 years just working by yourself on this one project. Right. So basically, there's a bunch of egos that are built up. And once you put them in a, let's say in the third year in a group project, everyone's just fighting with each other, or people don't know how to work with each other. Or some people don't even know how to divide the work, because you don't know what your strengths and weaknesses are.
Right.
So maybe doing that earlier in the year,
right?
If I was a teacher, that's what I would do.
Yeah.
Just having you learn how to work with others earlier.
Yeah. That's a,
don't they start that in kindergarten? It's like called sharing crayons or something.
Yeah.
Well, but when you're like doing this for like 2 years just by yourself, and then you're thrown into a huge group project, your junior.
Some of it's an age thing too, and then insecure college student age.
Yeah.
I remember doing one group project in school, in all the years of school, undergrad and graduate school. I think I did one, maybe two group projects. And you're right, it's hard. It's because everybody's working solo, and everybody is kind of trying to learn how to be a designer on their own, which is good. You're supposed to. Try to get the fundamentals down. And then you get put together, and there's, everybody wants to have the gesture. Everybody wants to be the guy that created the main concept, right?
Right.
And I see that even in the professional world, especially with younger designers that come in. It's understandable. You want to be the one that created that thing. I think as we grow as designers, and as designers learn to work in these large organizations, as well as working in consultancies, whether they're small or large consultancies, working for various companies around, you learn what you're good at and what your strengths are and how you value or bring value to the company. I think that's the most important thing, is we're trying to add value. And some are better at talking and pitching. Some are better at actually designing, maybe not being the front guy. And so you have to kind of understand where you're good at and how can you help benefit yourself as well as the organization that you're working for. Not everybody can be the front man. U2 has one lead singer and one drummer. And so that's the way it works. Not everybody can be Bono.
Well, and again, bringing it back to that article, that's kind of his point, right?
Right.
You use design for its strengths, but it's not necessarily the captain of the ship unless it makes sense.
Right.
So that's pretty much his point.
Again, I think what John made his point was, and what I really, I did agree with 100% was we all have a role. All the disciplines have a role. I don't think any one discipline is more special than the other, but it comes with respect, trust, and a collaborative spirit, such that people can work together and have and be honest with each other and have the hard conversations
So he made a point of saying, you know, perhaps the product manager or product planner or you know, should be the end, you know, sort of the decision maker mm-hmm. or something. Do you think that's because that person touches every particular specialty along the way of development?
Well, I think because they're the ones who are, so technically, they're the ones who are studying and forecasting, okay, I think I can sell this many. These are the type of customers that we want to sell it to. I've had conversations with these customers. If it's a company that's been around for a while, they have a fairly regular bit of customers that they sell to already. And so they're already getting feedback on their current products. And so ultimately, at the end of the day, they're responsible for the units that are going to be sold, right? They're the ones, the product planners, I know, at least the ones I work with, they're the ones who are the decision maker. They're relying on everyone else to give them the proper information. Like if I go to my guy and say, hey, man, I really think that this, you know, it really looks bad. You look at what we've done in the past, look at what the competitors are doing. And I really think this isn't the right thing. We should do A instead of B. He'll, you know, sometimes he says yes, and sometimes, you know, they'll say no. But I think at the end of the day, they're responsible. I know at least, you know, in the infrastructure that I work in, those guys are, you know, their feet are held to the fire mm-hmm. and they have a lot of responsibility. You're talking about millions of units per year, and you don't want to make a mistake, especially if it's something that delivers a lot of revenue to the company.
So at some point in time, somebody puts together the information that says, this is what the customer wants or thinks they want mm-hmm. In terms of price and performance and features and everything else. And then, you know, here's the list of this is what we want. And then someone assumes that here are then the answers to those questions or wants. I guess the critical thing is who's, is the product planner defining both lists, one list?
They're defining what they think that they believe the customer wants. Okay, and then they will take input and definitely receive input, because everyone has an opinion about what they think is the right question. It could be, hey, the technology's not ready, it's not available, so we got to put it off for the next year, or it's, this is going to cost you way too much, you're not going to meet your cost target. Or, you know, sometimes we push them and we might say, hey, it's way too many features, you're asking for thin and light. Well, you got to drop a few features, and here's an option of what it looks like with what you're asking for, and here's an option with what we think it should be. Which one do you want? And 9 times out of 10, they'll look at option B, which is beautiful and a lot nicer looking than option A, and they'll go, well, I want option B.
So to me, that seems to be, okay, that's basically, this is the point at which you set the direction, right? And the direction may meander along the way, but that first, this is what it is, definition, seems like it would be a good point. You know, if the idea is that everybody has an equal say or participation, that would be a good place to get everybody on the same boat, headed in the same direction. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if there's any place that I've ever seen that happens like that at the very beginning.
I would say that...
Or is that too much to put together, you think?
I would say that we do it that way. Okay. At least my perception. I could be wrong. I mean, maybe I'm, you know, sometimes ignorance is bliss. I don't know. But I see it that way. But there's points along the way that are review points. And those review points are you know where are we from an engineering point of view? Where are we from a design point of view? What about, you know, where?
But even in product definition, like, what is this? When I was at Dell, you know, this is 15 years ago, so mm-hmm. obviously a lot's probably changed.
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot. It's a different company.
I mean, the only involvement that design had in any of that was, okay, we need to give the marketing guys some rendering concepts of, you know, chassis at this size or whatever it may be. And that was the involvement, right?
Right.
It wasn't a whole lot. And then designers would, okay, well, we're going to go off and do our own kind of research separately. And, you know, sometimes there was a little play with marketing in there, but planning was never involved in any of it. Engineering typically wasn't involved too much. So it sounds like then it's dramatically
changed. Oh, it's dramatically changed. So like right now we're working on 2020 and we're starting to begin to think about what 2021 is. So is the product planners. And so as we see what they want for their roadmap, we're starting to think about, okay, what does that mean? What do we need to do? How does the design change from where we are now? A lot of what we're looking at, you know, it's really, there's so many different elements. That's why it's not really, I think you can say you have a good design-led culture or a design, the catchphrase is design thinking. I think the culture, really what I would say is that we're more collaborative and we're more trusting of each other because we're looking at every single element. So there's technologists that are looking at what are the next antenna technologies that are going to come down the road? How does that, because that has a big effect on the design, right? And it has a big effect on the planner's features that they want to be able to say that the how it can perform. So there's that. There's the materials that we look at. So as we start to think about like our aluminum processes and our carbon fiber processes, we're looking at, okay, here's how we do it today, but we're already starting to think about how can we make it more efficient? Can we make it cheaper so we have a better looking product at a less amount of money? So if we don't have to do so much CNC time, that brings a lot of cost down. So we're doing all of those things. And so we're working with all these various engineers and technology people and suppliers to help drive that for the 2021. So we already know what we're going to do for 2020. And so there's a lot of times there's parallel things happening because sometimes we might say, well, if we think we can solve this problem sooner and we can deliver it for 2020, we'll do it. But we still have to do the plan of record product definition, right? So it's CNC part one, stamp part two. Yeah, yeah. And so I think that, you know, we're more, like I said, we're a more collaborative organization. And so, you know, the designers, our designers and our design team will sit with the product planners on a regular basis, so even go to some of their staff meetings and have, you know, sit, listen and answer questions and have conversations about 2021 and what we're doing today and what does that mean? And if you want this, then maybe we have to give up that and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of conversations about, you know, giving and taking, you know, what does that mean for them? You know, what does it mean for them? Because there are certain customers that have more weight than other customers. Sure. And those customers who buy, you know, many units want a particular thing. And so we have to give them that particular thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe it's a design thinking organization, but I really like to think of it as more of a collaborative. It's a collaboration organization. It's more collaborative.
Sure.
And it's
well, that was the issue I think I had was in the article, his definition of design was too narrow.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Yeah. As someone that is still like hopeful and like very new to school, his article was a little bit like, I don't know, because like Daniel said, I see design as something more than just something that looks pretty.
Right.
And that's kind of what they kept referring to in the article.
So yeah.
It was like, you just keep giving people this perception that design is all about just whatever what looks pretty,
right?
And maybe he did that on purpose just to try to drive his point home and simplify it.
Yeah, but
that was then the issue I had with it was I didn't agree with his narrow definition.
Yeah, well, I think if you unfortunately, and this is up to us to educate our peers, is some of our peers that even that you know we work with today believe that's what we are. It's just take a can of make look good, spray it, and give me a picture and show me what it looks like and just make it pretty. Some developers you might work with might develop the whole thing and then hand it over to you and say, okay, just make this look good. Whereas someone who's more collaborative is going to say, hey, Aaron, this is the kind of organization you want to work with where the engineers are going to say, hey, we're going to start working on this next generation, whatever it is, coffee maker, next generation iron, whatever you're going to design, you know, wherever you may go, as you guys get hired as design consultants. And they're going to say, we've got this technology. This is what we're thinking about, but we really need to dive a little deeper into what that means. And so they're going to work with you on how that all those parts go together, right? Because if they just put it together the way they think about it in one way, that's just one way. But you're going to have a different opinion. And it could drive from how you see people using things. It could drive from just your own eye. Because in some cases, yeah, we are making design decisions based on what we think looks good, right? What we believe to be beautiful, proportional, non-intrusive, right, visually. And so that is going to also change some of the engineering development. Right. So it really has to be a collaborative thing.
Now, do you think the responsibility to bring this collaboration together lies upon each individual, or does it lie upon, let's say, like in your case, management, or how did that collaboration come about?
It's what I would call what I believe to be our own. We have to lead ourselves, right? We have to take ownership of our individual efforts. And so in order for me to get the respect from the engineers on collaboration, I have to work with them and show them early on some of the things that I'm working on. Now, I won't necessarily show them my entire sketchbook, but what I will do is go through with them and say, hey, here's a couple of ideas of what I'm thinking. Where's your head on this, right? And so it's really give and take. And so what I hope to do by doing that is spark their interest in wanting to collaborate with me and be more collaborative. And I have, you know, some of the engineers I work with, I have fantastic relationships with because they trust me and they respect me. And I tell them honestly what I believe to be like my top, I'll have like three main things that I'll know that I have to make sure that they're successful. And then what I call my primary, secondary, and my tertiary elements. And the tertiary elements are the sort of the little things that I'm kind of working on that I don't necessarily talk to everybody about and talk to all my peers about, or even highlight to my management. It could be something like depending on where it is, it could be an edge radius. Sometimes that's a primary, sometimes it's a tertiary, depending on that particular product in the context of where that radius is. So it could be that, it could be little lines moving here and there. It could be like, oh, a camera shutter, is it 5 millimeters or is it 6 millimeters? Those kinds of things are just things that I can work through with the engineers and the ODMs. The primary things are the things that I know that my management will highlight, and they're going to want to make sure it's got to be 100% correct. And so I'll talk to the engineer and say, hey, for example, it could be if I'm working on a display, it's the rear bucket, the rear surfacing. It has to be perfect, right? So I know that that's number one primary. The second one is the front of view, the screen front of view, right? So it's got to be thin borders. Those details need to be really tight. Lower chin, right, where the power button is and the speaker, it's got to be really tight. So all the other things we can kind of work through. Those are my examples, right? And so I want to talk to that guy and tell him what my highlights are and what my lowlights are. Yeah. And then the other things will come out in the wash, because everything can't be primary importance. Everything that you're working on can't be primary importance. Because if it is, it's tiring. And then I believe, based on my experience, that they won't trust you after a while. They'll be like, oh, everything this guy says is number one, and it has to be done, you know, to the nth degree. And what I'm not saying is to give up on the small details. You absolutely cannot, but you want to, you want to apply the pressure in a more even way, so that when you start going through these details, I think that the smaller details become easier to work with those guys if you give it to them in that way, right? That's the way I've been working, and it's helped me have more success than the other way, which used to be more of the anal, you know, hyper aggressive, angry designer, you know, throwing pencils at people and wearing a cape. Most people don't have patience for that.
Yeah. So I guess for people that are in your similar position, you would urge them to try and take it upon themselves to be more collaborative.
Well,
right?
I think that, and that's, you know, bringing this back to you, Aaron, being out of school soon, that's one of the things they don't teach you.
Right.
And for you and I both, it's one thing you just learn after hitting your head against the wall so many times, and right. you have to think, well, this doesn't work that well. Let's try something else. And it works better, lessens your stress and anxiety at work, and everything just, you know.
Well, Dan, you're, as a consultant, you have to be collaborative. Otherwise,
the doors
close, right?
Right. Unless you're self-funded every day, that's a requirement, right?
I thought you were self-funded.
Well, no. So, you know, and that's certainly the big difference between consulting and non-consulting, let's say, is you have to be that way, and you have to be in a narrower slice, because rarely are given a project where it's, you know, from the very beginning definition to the very end of implementation. So you have a narrow section, and everything's a little bit different that you have to focus on.
Well, I think that will close up our first conversation for the design intent. I would encourage anyone who has any opinions to send us a message. We'd be happy to talk to you.
Because it would be good to get some commentary and that sort of thing, assuming anybody's listening.
Right. Well, you can find us on thedesignintent.com. You can message us directly. You can find us online, Dan at Axis Design. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can find all of us on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And send us messages, and hopefully we'll continue this conversation. If anybody wants to have a talk with us, you're more than welcome to call in, and we'll have a conversation with you.
Or suggest topics that you may find interesting or want to hear about.
Absolutely.
Personal anecdotes, anything.
Absolutely.
All right. I'm signing off.